Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello, I am Bonnie Hughes. Today on Share Talk, we have Kavango Resources. They have significant prospecting license in Botswana, exploring for base and precious metals targets and PGE targets. Today, they announced an economic viability report on their iron oxide copper gold target in the Kalahari Sutra zone. Ben Turney, CEO, commented, the IOCG target at Great Red Spot is highly attractive because it is so large. Ben Turney, CEO, is joining us to discuss this news in more detail. Hello, Ben.
Hi there, Bonnie. Thanks for having me.
So referring to your news today on Great Red Spot, it is rather unusual to do a conceptual economic study before drilling or knowing the size of the resource. So was the purpose of this study determine if it was worth your while to spend money on a drill program?
Well, exactly. And at this stage, we don't even know the mineralization because obviously the targets we're going for are so deep. I think the key point here for everyone to understand is that what we wanted to do was to make sure that we had a viable target. We wanted to look at the mining economics and the technical challenges. Obviously, the capex is very large for a project like this, but the scale of the target is also extremely large too. So what we wanted to do before we dedicated significant resource to both to exploring this project and these targets from the surveying that we'll be doing, because we've got more extensive CSAMT that we would like to do, but also when it comes to drilling as well, before we sort of get to that point, we wanted to have confidence that if what we hope is down there exists, that it would actually be, you know, economic and mineable. So it is quite an unusual step for a company like ours. It hasn't cost us very much money, but I think it's been a very worthwhile and valid piece of work to put together this conceptual study.
And have you identified the drill targets yet, or are you still doing geophysics and compiling the data?
So we're working on them at the moment. So we've done the initial CSAMT surveys, which are helping us a lot with the targets. We've identified a number of very large, what we believe could be possible alteration zones. Obviously, these are what we need to drill test. But we're also doing a lot of work on our shallower targets, because remember, with this Great Red Spot, it's at the nexus of a number of cross-cutting faults that run over the KSZ. So in geological terms, this is the right sort of postcode where you've had a lot of tectonic and geological activity that happened over hundreds of millions of years, vast amounts of magma in different phases, spread apart over, you know, long distances of time. But in geological terms, these are the sorts of conditions that can lead to creation of these multiple mineralization styles. So we've obviously got the deeper IOCG target that we've talked about today, but of course we still have our primary nickel copper sulfide targets further up in the Karoo and the Proterozoic. So what we're hoping is that the two work streams will be able to combine, so that when we come to drill in the Great Red Spot, ideally what we're hoping for is to be able to hit both target horizons with single boreholes. Whether or not the geology is kind enough for us and the sighting of the holes, whether or not that actually bears out, remains still to be seen. We've got a fair bit of work we need to do, but that is our goal. Ideally, we want to test both target types with single individual boreholes.
And do you plan to drill that this year, or is that something that's going to be pushed out to next year?
Well, that's a good question. Of course, it's the $64,000 question. Everyone wants to know this. At the moment, we simply don't know. We've got more surveying work we need to do, both for the shallower nickel copper sulfide targets and also for the CSAMT, plus some more data processing. But we also need to think what's happening in the rest of the KSZ as well now. Now that we've got an exploration model that we have complete confidence in, particularly with this combination of TDEM surveys and CSAMT, we know we're using the right integrated approach to go and look for these high-speed conductor targets. Now, at the moment, our coverage over the entire KSZ is fairly limited. We've only run a dozen surveys. We could easily run another 100, and even then there would still be more ground to cover. It's that big a project. So we're currently looking at sort of the options that are open to us. Obviously, a lot will depend on financing as well, so we need to, you know, keep an eye on that. But in terms of actually getting this project towards being drill ready, you know, I'd hope it would be a bit later on this quarter when we can start to talk about the drill targets. And at that point, we can then start to think, well, when would be best for us to go out and drill, or do we carry on with doing more surveying across the KSZ?
And speaking about size, the release makes a lot of comparisons to the Olympic Dam mine in Australia, which is one of the largest deposits of uranium in the world, with copper being their main source of revenue. So why do you think that Great Red Spot has the potential to be another Olympic Dam?
So it all comes down to two of the geophysical surveys that are coincident. So we have this very large scale magnetic body, which appears actually similar in shape and dimensions to Olympic Dam, but it's coincident with a very large gravity anomaly that effectively sits in the middle of it. Now, when Olympic Dam was originally drilled, it was drilled pretty much on the basis of very, very similar data to what we're looking at in the Great Red Spot. There's information on our website and on our Twitter feed. We've published a lot of imagery about this, but the comparison between the two, I mean, they are eerily similar. Now, obviously, we're not expecting the geology to be the same. These IOCG systems are very complex. They're very varied. You know, no two are the same. So when we actually get down there, the geology is likely to be very different. But as things stand today, the geophysical readings from the two, and I think I'll put a tweet out again later on just to remind them, our shareholders, of, you know, when you can actually see the magnetic anomaly at Olympic Dam to scale to the magnetic anomaly that we're looking at in the Great Red Spot. I mean, they are very, very similar indeed. So we've used that as the baseline comparison, but obviously with the caveat, as I said at the start, we don't know what the mineralization is yet. That's the big step that we'll take forward when we come to drill these targets.
Yes, it's always below what's below the ground that makes all the difference, because sometimes you can get geophysical anomalies and sometimes they don't always pan out. But a lot of the times they can look very attractive.
It's the big challenge with our former exploration. Now, obviously, we know that Botswana is about 70% covered by Kalahari sands. So Kavango's pitch has always been, we are a geophysics-led exploration company. Now, to a lot of traditional geologists, very stuck in their ways, they are, you know, they think that that approach is too high risk. And yeah, of course, I do understand that. But what that doesn't take into account are the advances that there have been in technology, in particular over the last 10 years. And if you look at some of the results that we're getting from the CSAMT, when we put it through this inversion software, you know, down to about 600-700 meters, we're getting what amounts to almost 3D size views of the stratigraphy. So we're seeing rock layers that we've obviously drill tested to which we can then use to constrain the model. But then deeper down for this particular target, again, we've got very, very clear definition of these large areas where something has happened, something big has happened geologically. And those could well be the alteration zones that are one of the prerequisites for an IOCG deposit model. So yes, it is high risk. We know that. But again, the numbers, and they're illustrative numbers today, so we're not going to hang our hats on them too much, but they give an indication of, you know, sort of what the potential prize that's on offer. We try to quantify that blue sky a bit.
I mean, it's certainly companies that do a lot of groundwork in geophysics before drilling have much more success than, you know, going out and doing wildcat drilling. So it's a good idea to do all this geophysics.
It's an iterative process. I mean, as we saw with our last drill campaign, I mean, this was the first sort of proper drill campaign that Kavango has run in the KSZ. And obviously, the way that we modeled the B1 conductor originally, the geology didn't match our original model. But again, this is why we have to go out and drill. Now, the data that obviously we've got from that hole, the downhole data and then the follow-up TDEM surveys we've got, we now have a great deal more confidence in that B1 conductor. And of course, the B3 and B4 conductors that we've subsequently identified and that we announced last week. So yeah, you're absolutely right, but that's also always with the caveat that you do have to go out and drill these, you have to go and drill these targets. You then have to take the data back from that drilling. And it's all about sort of zoning in on until eventually you hopefully hit a major ore deposit.
And you also announced this month that you're planning to become the sole owner of Cayenne Resources. Mm-hmm. Issuing shares and warrants to complete the acquisition. Can you give us the rationale for the transaction?
Well, I'm over the moon about this deal, to be honest. I mean, as Brett said in an interview recently, one of our frustrations with Kanye is that we did feel that the message was being a bit watered down, because we had a very successful joint venture relationship with Power Metal Resources. Power helped Kavango during a very difficult period, and Power's financing meant that we were able to go full steam ahead on the KSZ, make the progress that we've made there over the last 18 months, while at the same time really maintaining and building our momentum, both in the KCB and the Kalahari Copper Belt and down at Ditau as well. But we're now at a stage in Kavango's development where we're standing on our own two feet. And I think at this particular stage in the market, now that we've got 100% ownership of those two projects, the Copper Belt licenses in particular, I think that's what's really going to supercharge our recovery. We're moving towards being towards drill ready status in the KCB. When we go and drill in the KCB, we will be looking for mineralization. So it won't be like proof of concept as we've done previously. So we feel very bullish. And then the work on the ground that we're seeing is fantastic. Plus, we've now also got an extremely supportive long-term strategic shareholder in Power. They'll own about 15% of Covango, together with a financing package with a number of warrants, all at heavy premiums to where we are today. But those provide us with a runway for future financing. So all in all, I'm delighted with this deal. And I think at this stage in the market, it gives us a fantastic foundation to work from.
Excellent. And you also completed a drill program in Detau. When can we expect results, and what are you have your plans are for that zone next?
So results coming in very soon. We've rushed the initial fire assays. We do have those assay results at the moment, but on their own, we need to wait until we see the other multi-element results as well. So we'll have an announcement that will be coming out once we've received the multi-element results, because at that point, we can then talk with confidence about what the system looks like at this I-10 target, where we hit this quite lengthy zone of interest, as we called it. So again, it's another very altered system, possibly the kind of alteration that we're looking for up at the KSN, you know, a similar sort of geological processes that could have occurred. So it's very interesting. And in terms of the rest of the exploration, one of the things that we've learned, we definitely need to do more CSAMT. We didn't have enough of that ahead of this drill campaign. But the data that we've taken from the other three holes, that's aligned with what the CSAMT was telling us. So what we're currently doing is we're finalizing a drill report that within that, once we've got the petrology and the final assay results that we're currently, you know, going through the various labs and going through various tests, once we've then are able to include that into the drill report, that will then inform our future exploration. So we'll be putting updates out to the market when we get the final results through, once we have the drill report ready, and then of course, next plans for exploration. But I expect that will involve more CSAMT so we can really go and take a good look at these potential alkaline ring structure targets, which are possible carbonatites.
And is there anything else on the other projects that you just like to get give us an update on?
Yeah, so we're going to be doing much more work in the KSZ South. We've hardly talked about the KSZ South. I think a lot of people forget that we have that. Most of our exploration activity has been in the KSZ North. But we just mobilized TDEM down to KSZ South. So it'll be the first TDEM surveys that have ever been run in that region. And I've got quite a lot of work that I'm doing on the corporate front as well at the moment. I mean, I'm really taking the opportunity to go beating down doors while the rest of the sector seems to have really reined its horns in and everybody seems to be hiding. So we're out there taking full advantage of these quiet times and having some very interesting conversations. So let's hope some of it materializes into something meaningful.
Yes, lots of companies are hibernating in this market right now because it's been very sort of oppressed.
This is the time when these people should be getting out on the front foot. And, you know, sort of this is my first experience running one of these businesses. I've obviously been a very active investor for a long time. And I've got to say, I mean, a lot of what I've seen across this space, far too negative. I mean, yes, there's been a pullback in metal prices, but, you know, this is the time when you can get deals done. This is the really exciting period in this space. And it does seem that there's quite a lot of fear out there, which makes me feel quite optimistic.
Yes, well, we've seen how fast these markets can turn around with a big rally happening. Hopefully it'll happen in the fall or the winter, but we don't really know.
Let's hope so.
All right, Ben, well, thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to having another update with you soon.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Share Talk.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.